The book of Romans, chapter 1. People to replace him. That's how important he is. We're going to have four men: Danny Newman, Danny Dalross, John Noyola, and David Kincaid are going to start leading singing for us over a period of time, and Susanna's going to take care of the special music. She must be a real glutton for punishment. Romans chapter 1. I want to read verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. We thank you for its clarity, beauty, truth. And I ask that you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach it clearly. I pray you'd open every heart and life that's here. I pray for lost souls that they might see clearly their need of Christ. And I pray for every child of God that you'd draw us closer to you. Have your way in this service. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On that one verse, there's an interesting thought there. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. We think about it a little differently, but notice what it said in the middle of that verse, well, right after the first line, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what the word reprobate means? Without God. So God let them have a mind without God. Why wouldn't the world want to believe there's a God? You ever thought about that? Now, a lot of people seem to believe there is no God. Every scientific teaching, every science book in the country, all the colleges, even Christian colleges, are teaching evolution, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why in the world would you make that judgment? Because, you see, if there is a God, that means there's somebody bigger than you to judge what you do. And the truth of it is, teaching morality without a God is no real morality at all. If all I have to fear in this life is the laws of this life, and I do not have to fear anything after this life, I can do anything I please. They did not like to retain the knowledge of God. Now look in this same chapter. Look at verse 20. Interesting statement. I think really clearly true. For the invisible things of Him, that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I've used the illustration time and time again. I've got a little old $10 watch hanging around here. You know what that's a testimony to? A watchmaker. You wouldn't just think that that watch came out of an explosion in a foundry somewhere. That would be like thinking that the Encyclopedia Britannica came out of an explosion in a print factory. Can't you tell the organization? Can't you see the wisdom? Can't you see the knowledge that had to go behind something like that? Now, I can't make a watch. Now, my daddy, he could repair them. He could fix transmissions. He did clocks, you know, whatever. He was just a real repairman. Billy got his talent in repairing things from my father. Now, I can fix a lot of things, but I'm not in their class. Not at all. I've had to do all my own work and do it over 3 or 4 times. You get better each time you do it, you understand? Sometimes I've overhauled engines and had enough left to put another car together. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. Do you see what this verse says? It's such a clear truth that it blows my mind every time I see an intelligent person that doesn't understand it. The invisible things of Him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now this old body's 70 years old, and so it ain't what it used to be. Never will be again. It'll be better one of these days. I think I'm going to be 33-year-old perfect forever. I think that's about what perfection is. I don't think 18 is perfect. I'm sorry, kids. I just don't think that's perfect. I think you got to get up to about 30 anyway, man or woman, before you hit your full maturity. His Godhead, His creation, are clearly seen by the things that are made. Who made this? Who designed this? I've got a heart that's already pumped nearly 2 million times. Think about that. You go make your engines. Instead of criticizing the one God made, why don't you go make one better? You couldn't do it. You know you couldn't do it. The astronomers kept getting bigger telescopes. If we spend this millions of dollars for a better telescope, we're going to see the end of the universe. We're going to understand the beginning. They've made bigger. Palomar was a great achievement. It is still. And then they put the Hubble out there in space. Let me tell you what every telescope gives you. It does not make one single star any bigger. You know, when you look through a telescope, your things get bigger.
No stars are ever any bigger in any telescope. All you see is more.
What they used to think was the universe, shoot, that's nothing. It's our Milky Way. It's our galaxy. And what looks like a star to you is a galaxy of millions and billions of stars. And there are billions of galaxies. And the bigger the telescope, the more they find. They haven't found the end of the universe yet. I thought astronomy was a pretty good thing to study till I figured out I wouldn't get much chance looking through a telescope about once every 5 years. It's a fascinating study. You take your eye. You take the language I'm speaking today, that I speak and you understand. Or you speak and I understand. I sold all my cows but one. My neighbor sold all his cows but one. Now our two cows come and meet over the fence. Now they're communicating. Did you know that bees communicate and ants communicate? I bet you worms communicate. I bet you amoeba and protozoa communicate. They know how to mate, and they know how to multiply. And you know what? We used to think about how big this big universe is out there. It's huge. Absolutely mind-boggling. You think that's an accident? Boy, you got more faith than I got. When I see that, I see God. That's simple. Real simple. And the Bible says they're clearly seen. You look at all the things that go to make me live these 70 years and I'm still living in spite of what some of you think. I am. I'm having a good time. But there's blood flowing through these veins. There are thoughts in this head. I'm seeing things that I can remember. And my feet are working and all these different organs in my body that make me work. You think that's an accident? You think that came about by chance? Take all of whatever makes me and flush it around in a bucket for 100 billion years, you'd never get me. Or you either. Psalm 19, David said something to us. Verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In every culture of the world, to the most primitive, to the most sophisticated, the knowledge of the creation of God is clearly seen. And you ought to be able to see it. And I have come to the conclusion that what he's saying here in Romans is a real deep truth. They did not like to retain the knowledge of God. Somebody made a choice. They said, you know, I don't like God being first cause. Why is that? Now, there's a lot of garbage in religion. There's a lot of garbage in preachers. There are a lot of missionaries who aren't worth 2 cents, much less the salary they get.
That's right.
There are a lot of pastors you wouldn't want to walk across the street to get their advice.
That's right.
There's an awful lot of garbage in the world out here, but you know there are some people that are telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot of books in my life. I read a lot of them before I got saved. But then, you know, I found this book. My, what a difference it made in my life.
Amen.
How clear some things became that couldn't understand before.
Amen.
And I don't understand all the answers to all the questions yet. I've read this thing more than most people that ever lived. I've probably read it more than you. And I don't understand everything in it yet. Say, well, why don't you preach on that thing? Because I don't understand it yet. I don't preach on what I don't know. Some of you young preachers, you'd do well to sort of follow that little bit of advice. Some of you get up and preach on things you haven't a clue about. And we know you haven't a clue after about 3 minutes that you stood up. Preach what you know until God lets you know more. You say, well, I only got one sermon. Preach that one sermon if you know it. Just keep finding new places to preach it. Hey, there are lots of street corners in San Antonio. The invisible things of Him from the creation or of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I don't have much use for critics. I have a lot of respect for builders. I don't have much use for people who can criticize how you do in your work, but they're not doing the work themselves, and they're not doing a better work. I like things that are made. And when I look at something well made, that gives me pleasure. I see somebody made a real nice fireplace. That took some skill. Took a lot of hard work. Somebody built a nice house. Man, you can appreciate that. Now, any dumbo in the country can come along and criticize that house. But it takes a pretty good craftsman to build a better one. I respect craftsmen. I don't respect critics. If you don't like what I'm doing, then get off your seat and go do better. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Come on, don't walk around all your life criticizing what somebody else do. Get up and do something.
That's right. Amen.
God did. And it's clearly seen in this world. The variety, somebody says, God loves beauty. I've heard preachers say that all my life. God just loves beauty. And they're talking to all these beautiful ladies in their church. See, God loves beauty. God loves variety, if you ask me. Everybody ain't that beautiful to me. I figure I'm not that beautiful to most of you. I'm glad I got one woman that likes me. That's all I need. Some of you worried about you're not prettier than 45 other girls or 45 other men. You know, all you got to find is one. There's 3 billion women out there, guys. So what if the next 15 you meet don't like you? There's 3 billion of them out there. One of them sooner or later going to say, just what I want. Don't give up. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And so God said, and if you read this chapter, you'll find out God let them have what they wanted. He gave them a mind where they didn't have to worry about God. A reprobate mind. Now there's another verse I'd like you to go to. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 10. Look at this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. He's talking about people, by the way, if you read this chapter, that are going to be damned for all eternity. They're going to be separated from God in a place called hell and damned by God for all eternity. Now listen to what he says. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did what? They didn't love the truth. Solomon made a statement years and years ago, about 3,000 years ago. Buy the truth and sell it not. Pay whatever price you got to pay for truth. Whether it's work, whether it's money, whether it's sacrifice. Pay whatever you got to pay for truth. Truth is important. But don't sell it for anything. Don't sell it for money. Don't sell it for job. And don't sell it for family. Don't sell it for prestige. Don't sell it for anything else. You don't sell the truth. He said they receive not the love of the truth. They would rather have their prestige. They'd rather have their friends. They'd rather have their family. They'd rather have their job. They'd rather have their money. They'd rather have something, anything but truth. Truth's too expensive. You know what the truth will do? It'll cost you friends. And what the truth will do, it'll cost you money. And what the truth will do, it'll cost you family. You'll pay a price if you decide to live for truth. But oh, my friend, what do you miss if you miss truth? I had a young man, he's probably about 18 years old. This is years and years ago. And he was really close to being saved. He was under strong conviction. He was very close to being saved. But he was dating a very beautiful lost girl. And he figured if he got saved, he'd lose that lost girl. And he turned down the Lord. This is a real story. It's true. He turned down the Lord. He backed off of truth. He married that beautiful, sweet girl. And 2 or 3 years later, I led her to the Lord. And she became a Sunday school teacher and a witness. And a sweet, vibrant Christian. And her husband, I don't think, ever has. He made a wrong decision. He had a chance between the Lord and truth and the love of his life. He chose the love of his life and turned the Lord down, and as far as I know, he's never repented of that. I know him well. Today. What do you lose if you don't go for truth? Well, these people right here are going to lose their eternal soul for all eternity. They love not the truth. People do not want to be responsible to an eternal God, but my friend, you are whether you think you are or not. You can believe all you want to that nothing's going to happen to you after you die, but you're mistaken. Because this book right here says so. That's enough for me. I found out this book's true. I began reading this book praying, Lord, show me your truth. You know what he did? He showed me truth. I couldn't place to believe this book. You say, I don't believe that book. You probably never read it. Let me challenge you. You just take the book of John. In the New Testament, fourth book over, the Gospel of John, 21 or 22 pages. That's all it is. Some of you are not big readers, just 21 or 22 pages. Why don't you open that book up and say, God, if this is your word, show me and read it. Amen. And every day, open that book up and say, God, if this is truly your word, show it to me and read it. Chances are, before you get through the book of John a couple of times, you'll be saved. Amen. Truth of the Word of God. Love not the truth. You know what? I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth about my brakes. I don't want to go into a brake shop and the guy say, your brakes are just great, and I drive out of there and they fail me. I want to know the truth. He said, man, it's going to cost you $500 to get these stupid brakes fixed. Oh, that hurts. But I'd rather hear that than to tell me everything's all right and I go down the road and it's not all right. I want the truth. Another little verse. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 19. It's a great passage. It's about the new birth, and probably the greatest verse in the New Testament, John 3:16. Look what it comes down to in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They did not like to retain the knowledge of God in their mind. They did not love the truth. They loved darkness because their deeds were evil. That's the testimony of the Bible according to the world. That's God's judgment of this world. That's the way God looks out on this world. And that's the way He may look upon you in the way you make some of your decisions. God Almighty loves the truth. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's been used by a lot of people in a lot of causes, but the truth of it is, it's talking about salvation. Setting you free from the burden and the penalty of sin. Setting you free from the consequences and condemnation of sin. Setting you free from an eternity in hell. It's been 50 years, but I remember it. The day I was set free. And I knew I was free. What a blessing. What a blessing. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Book of 2 Peter. Go to Revelation and take a left. About 10 or 12 pages, you'll find it. Chapter 2, and look at verse 4. Now, there are a lot of people who have an opinion of God today, if they believe in a God. There are a lot of people that don't believe in God. But there are many more people that do believe in God, and they believe He's some benevolent Santa Claus. All I've heard people preach, everybody's going to get to heaven. That's not true. Most people aren't going to get to heaven. According to the testimony of this book, from the beginning of it to the end of it, and especially in the book of Revelation, they get down to the end of it, the last book, the last prophecy tells you what's going to happen in the world in the days to come. The vast majority are not going to make it to heaven, friend. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person and preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly." Did you notice what this great God did? He spared not the angels that sinned. He spared not the world of Noah. And He spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. You want an example of God? Well, why don't you look at what He's done in the past? You want to know what God is? How God is? Does He fit your philosophy? I don't know whether He fits your philosophy or not. But I'll tell you what the Bible tells you about Him. He didn't spare the world that sinned. He didn't spare the angel that sinned. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah that sinned, even though Lot lived in it. Even though it had Abraham praying for it. Now let me ask you a question, my friend. You're a real smart person. You're highly intelligent. You're smarter than the Bible. You're smarter than the preacher. And some of you are 20 years old with your 20 years of experience. You're smarter than me with my 70 years. I understand. I used to be 22. I can remember at 17 standing up to my daddy. I'm thinking, how could he be so dumb? Not think like I thought. And just a few years later, I wondered how he got so smart so fast. It's an amazing thing. How our minds can change because we grow up a little bit, get a little bit of wisdom. God spared not. If God didn't spare the angels that sinned, and if God didn't spare the world of Noah that sinned, and if God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, what makes you think He'll spare you? Where do you get this idea God is a great big Santa Claus and He gives gifts to good little boys and bad little boys alike? I know He says He doesn't, but when Christmas time comes, they all get the gifts and you know they aren't all good. Is that right? How many of you don't give a gift to your little boy that's bad? That's a joke. God is no Santa Claus. God is a creator. And God is all wise. The wisdom of the Godhead still marvels me. I'm amazed continually. As I look at the animal life, as I look at human life, as I look at this world, I see the things that God has made in creation. I stand amazed looking at God. And yes, I say, the world declares the glory of God. The things that are made prove there's a maker. Doesn't that make sense? It does to me. Turn a page. Chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Willingly ignorant. Verlene and I just got back from our vacation. And we went to the Grand Canyon. Golly, what a gully. Now, I have actually, according to my wife, I have driven 5 times into Arizona to see the Grand Canyon. And according to me, I have driven into the Grand Canyon 9 times to see it. 9 different days of viewing that thing. You know what? I go back tomorrow. But you know what they tell me? I'm amazed. These intelligent park rangers and these people that write this stuff up, they say, 100 million years ago, this river began to cut this thing. There ain't no way. Excuse my English. Go out there and climb a few mountains. When I was in Guatemala, one of the big things you do there is you climb volcanoes. And I've climbed live volcanoes, and I've had them spitting out rocks at me, and I've climbed dead volcanoes. Pretty interesting thing to do, actually. Do you know, no matter where you get on this earth, how high you get, you're still going to find fossils that ought to be in the bottom of the ocean? And yet our great scientists, our greatest minds, tell us it took millions of years ago. Let me tell you something. If I took a biologist with me, with a PhD in biology, let's make him have 3 PhDs. And I carried him back to about a week after creation. Now, you see that man right there? What do you think about him? Well, he looks highly intelligent. Man, he's strong. But healthy? How old do you think he is? Oh, 30 years old anyway. Thereabouts. Just one week. Hey, take a look at Eve. And you know what? He did what Adam did. You know what Adam did when he saw Eve? He said, "Whoa, man." You know he said it. There ain't a woman in the world as beautiful as Eve. She's created by God. She was absolutely perfect. She didn't have a flaw. Look at that woman. What do you think about her? Wow, he says. What a woman. How old do you think she is? Oh, 25 or 30 at least. 1 week. We walk over to the ocean over here and we see this great, big, huge turtle. He's 400 or 500 pounds. I could ride on his back. And this biologist says he's 400 or 500 years old at least. No, 1 week. 1 week. You understand what I'm telling you? You've heard this great controversy. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. God didn't create eggs. He created animals. All you got to do is believe the Bible.
Chickens lay eggs. Chickens lay eggs. Are you understanding me?
God created this world and He set traps in it.
I'll guarantee you, this book's got traps in it. You don't watch your step, this book will trap you. God uses the wisdom of the world to make foolish the wisdom of the world.
God spoke the world into existence. He created it. He laid it out. And you want to know what caused the Grand Canyon? The flood, dummy. When all that water began to recede and the mountains rose up out of that water and that thing began to go, it cut it out probably in a few days' time.
Boy, it's worth seeing.
It's worth seeing. I'd go again. If my wife gets some money together, maybe we'll make it. I never paid less than $3 a gallon for gas after I left San Antonio. Notice something else. Verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now he said up here, these people were willingly ignorant. They have chosen to believe something other than the truth because it's convenient for them to believe something other than the truth. They're willingly ignorant. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let me tell you something, friend. This world you have right now didn't start in a big bang. That's a myth of the scientific community that does not like to retain God in their knowledge. But it's going to end with a big bang. They're right about a big bang going to happen. Big bang's going to happen. Tells you about it right there. Revelation tells you the same thing. Heaven and earth just fled away. They were gone. And I knew when He brought down. Don't be ignorant of this. The reason why you're still here and the reason why this earth is still going, the reason why I'm still preaching is that God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering to us. What's He not willing? That any should perish. But understand me, my friend, if God is saying this, people are going to perish. What is His love for long-suffering for? That you might not perish. That you might have an opportunity. That you might be able to call upon God. That you might be saved. That you might have your sins forgiven. You might have your life changed. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but the day of the Lord will come. As long-suffering as He is, and as long as He waits. I was a very proud, haughty, tough young man. And I resisted the call of God many times. I'm not like someone who didn't have anybody witness to me. I had a Christian mother and father. I married a Christian girl. I joined her church with her. Some of those people in that church came by and talked to me. I'm not someone that can say no man cared for my soul. When I was in a military base out in Roswell, New Mexico, I had two civilian workers that were Christians that witnessed to me all the time. I'd tell them a dirty joke, make fun, and they'd, "Oh, Kincaid, you're never going to make it." But I did. And I had the pleasure of telling them I got saved. And they, wow, they just rejoiced. God came in conviction to me one night And what I had in my mind, I have called you long enough. If you want to go your own way, you can. I'm through with you. And that scared me. Because I did believe that there was a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And I called on the Lord and got saved.
Amen. Thank you.
That was the long suffering of God. Several times I should have been killed. Several times my life, just like that. But it didn't. God in His mercy was long suffering to me to the point that I got saved. How long has He been waiting on you? How long are you going to turn Him down? How much longer are you going to say no? How much longer are you going to walk in your sin thinking you're sowing your wild oats? Well, one of these days, my friend, while you're in your wild oats, God's going to take you out. You know those people that got washed away in their cars knew they were going to die? Hey, that's just yesterday's news. There'll be some more tomorrow. I got ready to come out and across the bridge that I generally go, I could see the two. Water was up to the 2-foot mark. I said, I don't think I'll drive across that bridge. Maybe it's just because I got old. I don't know. Maybe I got a little bit smarter. I don't know. I know heaven's my home. I'm just not homesick yet. How long do you think God's going to wait on you? You say, well, I'm young. I'm 18 years old. I got plenty of my life left. I get to be 70 like you. You mean I make 70 like me? I got a lot of friends that didn't make it. A lot of them. The long suffering of God. But how long will He suffer your manners? You say, well, you're trying to scare me. I wish I could. If I could, I would. If I could twist your arm and get you saved, I'd twist your arm. But you know, it doesn't work that way. I can't make you get saved. Almost can't even help you get saved. You know what happens? I preach this word, God's Holy Spirit uses that word, and you come to the place where you want to be saved. And you may get to the place you want it so bad and you can't feel like you can get it. But you're going to have to want to be saved before you're ever going to get saved. Or I realize, first cause, God moves upon you before you can ever call upon God. But that's what God's doing right now while I'm preaching this word to you. God's moving on you. God is calling you. God is pleading with you. God is using your conscience, trying to let your conscience speak to your heart and to know, what if this is true? I read an awful lot of books in my life, probably more than most of you. I was reading books when you guys came up on television. We didn't have a television until I was 16 years old. I read books, played sports, ran barefoot in the street. This is the truth.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not, it's still the truth. Once you believe it, it'll change your life. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His long-suffering, in His mercy, in His great love to you, paid your debt. Your wicked sin, your lust, your selfishness, your pride, your stupidity, He paid it all. Murder, adultery, rape, child molestation, you can't name a sin He didn't pay for. Adolf Hitler could get saved if you'd believe this. There's not a person in this room that can't get saved if you'll just believe this. For God so loved the world How much did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth, will you believe? That whosoever is a great big word. It included me. Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand and sing number 249. Number 200.